Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to this, the 16th episode of the GameBuoy.org Video Gaming Podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. Today is December 8th, 2012. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Arr!
This week, we're going to be talking a little bit about the 2012 year in gaming. But, as has been the case for the last month or two, I just want to point out we're still working on making our show sound better for you folks. At this point, the dust should be starting to settle a little bit, and we really appreciate your sticking with us as we're sort of going under construction.
.gif.
Please reach out to us if you have any issues with the way we sound now. Otherwise, let's get on with our follow-ups. First up, and actually the only one up this week, since we'll be touching on our other follow-ups while we discuss the year in gaming, is that the Xbox karaoke app that we discussed last week is going to be hitting on Tuesday. That's this Tuesday, so frankly, it'll probably be up by the time you're listening to this episode. The pricing plan has also been announced. It's going to be $3 for 2 hours, $5 for 6 hours, and $10 for 24 hours.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to karaoke box ever again, because that's a good deal.
Yeah, seriously. You know, we were just talking about that last week, how this, for our purposes certainly, would be more useful and saving, you know, a nice savings represented over going out for karaoke. And I'm looking at these prices, and I literally, when I first saw this, I thought that this must be a mistake. Like, access to this huge catalog of karaoke for 24 hours for $10? Like, you could throw several parties within that 24-hour window for $10.
Yeah, that sounds pretty great. Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too. Anyways, we have a lot to talk about today, so do you just want to get on with it?
Yeah, let's do it to it.
News. Oh my god, news.
So first up on our list this week, Square Enix has announced that Final Fantasy IV is coming to yet another platform.
Isn't this like the fifth one so far?
You know, it's fun to think that it's the fifth. I think it's probably more like the sixth or seventh.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. The Final Fantasy IV is coming to the iOS. It's going to be hitting in Japan on December 20th, with Android following in the spring. And all of Square Enix's Final Fantasy-related iOS apps here in the U.S. have had their descriptions changed to reflect Final Fantasy IV coming soon. So while we don't have a date yet for this territory, we know it's coming. Kind of the cool, interesting thing about this port is that it's based on the DS remake, you know, the full 3D
one. Oh, yeah.
And just looking at the screenshots that have been released, it looks really pretty. It really looks like they've maybe gone back and resampled textures or something, definitely running at a higher resolution. So some of the improvements that we saw with the Final Fantasy III DS remake when it was ported to iOS and Android and soon to Ouya, it looks like Final Fantasy IV reflects those same sort of changes. And further, I'm wondering if Final Fantasy IV is going to have Ouya support built in.
That would be great.
Yeah, I would definitely double dip for that. This was a great port. I really liked it. On the DS, you know, it was super hard. It was really well known for being a very difficult port. They had made, you know, changes to it to make it even more difficult over the already notoriously hard Super Nintendo original. And for the iOS/Android version coming out, you know, later this month in Japan, they've added difficulty settings.
Oh,
so
okay.
It'll be interesting to see how that goes, too.
I'm just waiting for the Kotaku article complaining about how expensive it is.
I'm waiting for the Kotaku article complaining about how hard it is.
I'm waiting for the Kotaku article about how outdated the graphics look.
I think you win. I think that was the one.
Because it is going to be 1,800 yen, which is about $22. But, I mean, really, it's Final Fantasy IV.
Yeah.
I think it's still worth $22.
Definitely. And we've talked about that quite a bit in the past. We needn't harp on it. Especially not in a week where we have so many points to cover.
Indeed.
Next up, of course, and I'm going to butcher this name, but there's simply nothing to be done over it. Castlevania, Lords of Shadow, Mirror of Fate. Oh, I got through it. Has been announced for European release on March 8th. Of note as well is that it's going to be hitting here in the U.S. on March 5th, so that same week. You may recall, this is the 3DS spinoff of the Lords of Shadow Castlevania subseries. Looks like they're trying to do sort of a Metroidvania experience combined with the sort of 3D world action character game that was Castlevania Lords of Shadow.
Which means you'll probably like about half of it, I'm guessing.
If I'm lucky.
You as in Captain Spike. Listeners might... Your mileage may vary.
Yeah. Slagkick, you want to take this next one?
Yeah, so we've also got release dates for Rayman Legends. It'll be out here in North America on February 26th and in the UK on March 1st. And you know, of course, we had a Rabbids game come out, but I know a lot of people have been looking forward to this Rayman game as well. Rayman games are still pretty popular, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, you know, I played the Rayman Legends demo at a local Best Buy, and I have to say, it's a really great game. It's gorgeous. A lot of fun, so I'm really looking forward to this, like, quite a bit. This is definitely on sort of my list of things I'm looking forward to next year.
And the other thing that's notable is that you can also, as of December 13th, get a demo on the Wii U eShop, so that'll be cool.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
And good on Ubisoft for getting their games out there for Wii U, because, like we've said, they seem to be kind of like the big third-party studio who's backing the Wii U.
Yeah, they really are. Next up, Nintendo has been blocking EU eShop access to all 18 and up content during the day. This is sort of a news story that broke yesterday afternoon. It's still developing, of course. But Eurogamer reports that the four-hour window from 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. is basically the only time during the day in which games like Assassin's Creed 3 or Zombie U, coincidentally both Ubisoft games, per what Slykick was just saying, but that's the only time that you can download these games off the eShop or even view their trailers. Joystick followed up with Nintendo of America to ask if this was going to happen here in the U.S. as well. And Nintendo of America's official response was that this is European policy and will not impact Nintendo of America.
Yeah, I know a lot of people were, like, really upset with this. I mean, even people who don't live in Europe. But, you know, it's kind of whatever. I feel like the people who would really want to play these games would have went out and bought a store copy.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, and it's worth mentioning, you know, we've seen a lot of instances where games have been really graphic, you know, very explicit games that are very graphic have been censored and edited for release in certain EU regions. So I'm not that surprised to hear this. I know that the Resident Evil games have dealt with this. I believe Zombie U may have even. So I sort of suspect that this is unfortunately par for the course and that Nintendo's just trying to do what they need to do. Next up.
So BioShock Infinite, which we talked about previously, got pushed back about a month. The new release date's going to be March 26th of next year. And it's just to, you know, fix some bugs. So I think that's worth it. I hate when games ship with tons of bugs in them. Assassin's Creed. but yeah, you know, they're just going to be fixing bugs. And I know this game's been delayed a lot, but like we talked about before, the trailer looks great. If you're a BioShock fan, I'm sure the month extra that you're going to have to wait is going to be worth it.
Yeah, you know, it's really just like the Miyamoto philosophy. A delayed game is only delayed for as long as it takes to fix it. A bad game is going to be bad forever.
Yeah, one thing that Kotaku did note is that it's going to be competing, not necessarily day and date of, but same month as Tomb Raider, SimCity, God of War Ascension, and Gears of War Judgment. But
and, you know, it's interesting because several of those games I'll be purchasing personally. So I sort of can't help but wonder if that actually isn't a little damaging for BioShock's case. You know, BioShock looks great. I've talked on the show before about how very excited I am for it. But I'm definitely going to be playing Tomb Raider. I'm definitely going to be playing SimCity. And recently, the God of War Ascension guys were talking about their multiplayer being heavily influenced by their time playing Power Stone.
That's hell of cool.
Yeah, so if God of War Ascension's multiplayer really is very similar to Power Stone, which it sounds like it is, almost like Power Stone, but with like level building elements, that for me actually might be a very unpleasant competition for BioShock Infinite.
Yeah, but you know, BioShock's got a really huge devoted fan base. I mean, I don't know if definitely. I could say huge, but you know,
it's
got
a really devoted sizable, fan base. Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to sell. It might not be...
I think it'll be all right, but it is... I do think it may lose a little bit.
Yeah, do I think it will push Tomb Raider numbers? No, but I think it'll do fine.
I hope so. It still looks great. There was a new trailer last night during the Video Game Awards show on Spike TV.
Oh, wait, they actually showed some video game content on that?
It's interesting you say that. We're going to be coming back to it in just a little bit, but it was quite an eventful night last night.
It was, even though I didn't watch it.
Moving on, Square Enix has opened up a new teaser site. This is, of course, at this point, basically the standard thing that Square Enix does. But it's another countdown site. At the time of this reading, we're basically just looking for another 3 days and 2 hours to pass before we know what it is. But the notes on the side of sidebar of this page, which we will link you to on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
Currently has the teaser sort of tags of Star, Border War, Divide. And going with this, Silicon Era thinks that this probably ties into the trademark that Square Enix recently filed for video game software titled Star Galaxy. People have been hoping for quite some time that this might be related to a Star Ocean revival of some kind, and of course the cynics on the internet are pegging it as a Star Ocean social iOS game. either way, we'll know in, you know, about 3 days, so expect to hear a follow-up on this in our next episode.
I just have to point out, as you remember previously, Captain Spike has problems saying the word silicon. And so when he said Silicon Era, I was like, wow, that sounds like it should be a documentary about breast implants or something.
Oh, that is Silicon Era. GDI, especially with the E in their name, yo. Also coming up from Silicon Era. Was that better?
Why is it coming up from Silicon Era?
Because they're the ones that posted about it where I read it, jerk.
But you made it sound like they were a developer.
Okay. I saw today on Silicon Era...
That's better.
...that Atlus is teasing a Devil Survivor 2 anime coming up in April of 2013. The director of the Persona 4 animation is tied to the project. I'm super excited about that. But apparently, according to the website of Atlus, the Devil Survivor 2 homepage teases that there will be another new Devil Survivor 2 project that'll be announced in the next week or so. I'm personally hoping for a Devil Survivor 2 overclocked remix, like the first Devil Survivor game got, which came out on 3DS earlier this year. I was really, really into that overclocked remix of the first game, and I would totally buy one for the second game. Do you have anything to say about that?
I've never played any of the Devil Survivor games, but cool.
It's another spinoff of the Shin Megami Tensei series.
I figured.
Excellent. Sort of unscheduled, something that popped up in the news today that I have to tell you about is that just a couple of hours ago, Capcom announced Street Fighter X Capcom, a free download title for the PC, which will be made available on Capcom Unity as part of Mega Man's 25th anniversary celebration. This is an 8-bit NES-style Mega Man game where Mega Man will be fighting 8 bosses from the Street Fighter series rather than 8 Robot Masters. This was originally a Singapore-based fan game that was approached by the Capcom USA folks to basically legitimize this game and release it as sort of an official part of the Mega Man 25th anniversary.
That is so fucking cool.
Yeah, I'm really stoked about this. Street Fighter X Mega Man will be released on December 17th as a free download through, like I said, Capcom Unity.
Yeah. We will, of course, have the link for you on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
And I just have to say, Captain Spike and I were getting a little emotional when this trailer popped up. It looks pretty special.
Yeah, it looks really great. The music was superb. It just really looks like they're really going out.
And, you know, especially considering that we figure that Mega Man is all but dead.
Yeah, as a Mega Man fan, I tell you, I feel kind of abused by Capcom sometimes.
That said, this could be the beginning of a great anniversary for them, so
fingers crossed. Let's see. Next up, Legend of Heroes, Trails in the Sky is getting a PS3 remake with proper HD graphics. This is pretty much completely straightforward. It looks like The Legend of Heroes, Trails in the Sky, SC Kai HD Edition, which might be the longest name for an HD edition this side of Kingdom Hearts, will be coming out in Japan on April 25th, 2013.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to add, but they showed some screenshots comparing the PSP version and the PS3 version, and it looks good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that game on the PSP. I did not ever finish it. And interestingly, apparently in this HD edition, you'll be able to take your PSP save and convert it to a PS3 save.
That's super cool. And so I think that whatever they're doing to whatever process they use to remaster it looks pretty great. I wouldn't mind seeing that for other PSP games.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Maybe I'll get to finish that game finally. And hey, some of those PSP games were really great, sort of overlooked diamonds in the rough. So if they can find a way to sort of capitalize on them and bring them to a larger audience, I support that. You want to take this next one?
Yeah, this is another one that's pretty straightforward. You know, the DMC Devil May Cry demo has been out for a couple weeks, and Capcom has noticed an uptick in pre-order sales. So, you know, like we said previously, we think it looks pretty dreadful.
You know, I have to say, I downloaded this demo myself, and Silicon Era, they ran this story, and they also ran sort of some other excerpts from a fan Q&A that Capcom conducted, and I agree with a lot of what was said here, but mostly I felt like the game was pretty all right. Better than I expected it to be.
See, because I haven't had a chance to play the demo yet, so...
Yeah, it's still not as good as I feel some of the earlier games in the series were. And, you know, I've talked about that on the show before, how Devil May Cry is one of my very favorite series.
Well, of course, it was the roots for Bayonetta.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know. But, yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic at this point. And it looks like they're working with these fan Q&As to sort of take feedback and make changes to the game to try and have it fit in better to what people want. So I'm a little hopeful. I really hope this one pans out.
Oh, good.
In similar demo-related news, the Metal Gear Rising Revengeance demo will be hitting PSN finally on December 13th. This is the same demo that was packaged with the Zone of the Enders HD collection, of which I am a huge fan. You know, I talked about it on an episode some number of weeks ago. I've spent some more time with it more recently since getting a copy of it myself. And I just absolutely love this demo. I cannot wait for the full game. And somewhat interestingly, the Xbox 360 demo for Metal Gear Rising Revengeance has not yet been announced for distribution over the Xbox 360 arcade, or I'm sorry, Microsoft
Xbox Live Arcade.
Xbox Live. That's the word. Thank you. So Hopefully that's announced soon. I know a lot of you guys out there have Xboxes. I definitely recommend you pick this demo up. It's a lot.
It looks great.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as the demo is concerned, I'm not surprised because Japan doesn't really care about the 360, so it's probably more in their best interest to get the demo up for PSN.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree there.
But, of course, being a Platinum game, we're very, very excited for it. And it looks great. I watched Captain Spike play a little of the demo. Actually, I watched him play the whole demo because we were having such a great time.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on with it, and coming back to something we were talking about a little bit ago, Dark Souls 2 was announced at the Video Game Awards last night.
I know a lot of people who are going to be very excited about this.
Yeah, I recently finally got around to starting a proper playthrough of Dark Souls. It was so good. I love it. I'm really stoked to hear that they're doing a sequel. They had a trailer, you know, some screenshots. And apparently this game will have, you know, a new main character in a new world and a new director. The previous series creator, Hidetaka Miyazaki, is taking on a supervisor role in what promises to be a more, quote-unquote, accessible game in the Souls series.
That's super cool, and I'm just a little surprised that, like, something like this would be shown at the VGAs. I mean, don't they have, like, bro dude stuff to be showing or whatever?
Well, like I said last night, the VGAs were very, very interesting. There was a lot going on, and I would argue that the most interesting thing is what appeared to be a new IP from an unknown Swedish developer called Moby Dick Studio. However, upon watching the trailer for this new game, The Phantom Pain, it became apparent that something was a little, let's say, off. So sleuths around the internet have been sort of watching this game trailer, sort of dissecting every facet of footage, and it increasingly looks like what very well might be Metal Gear Solid 5.
That shit cray.
Yeah, I will link you to sort of an analysis of the information on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
Frankly, there's simply too much going on here to really talk about it. So much as even the font they use in the trailer, it has like gaps in certain words and lines added at the end of words that when you all connect them looks basically to literally spell out the words Metal Gear Solid 5. So I don't know what to tell you. It's pretty cray.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, we don't know anything for sure, but the evidence is pretty compelling.
And characters I guess, from Metal Gear popping up, animations from Metal Gear apparently reused.
They're thinking possibly it could be a Naked State game, so that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's very crazy, and to do it so virally, and just with this unknown studio, I mean, there's something going on here.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Sort of finally pulling through to the end of our news here, we've got two more quick hits for you. Square Enix has registered a trademark in Europe, of all places, for a project called All the Bravest. All the Bravest, and you might note that the initials for All the Bravest would be ATB. The name of a very popular combat system in Square Enix RPGs. Obviously, the internet seems to believe that this is probably connected to Bravely Default Flying Fairy. Fingers crossed that might be the point. I'm personally somewhat concerned that this might be for a localization of the Bravely Default Flying Fairy social game, because that's sort of the unfortunateness of everything in 2012. Social games.
Yeah, you know, the fact that they would rebrand it would be like, oh, yeah, this has nothing to do with Bravely Default, except people are like, oh, wait, but we have the internet, and we know that it actually does.
Yeah.
Except maybe it doesn't. We don't know yet, but...
And just to wrap it up, Atlas is reprinting Etrian Odyssey 1 through 3 to prep gamers for Etrian Odyssey 4 for 3DS. These will be the original DS versions of the games, and you can order them from Atlas's online store starting, like, now. So if you're looking for some really good, older, sort of wizardry-style RPGs, complete with your own do-it-yourself mapping manually on the bottom touchscreen, I highly recommend you look into these games. There's nothing else quite like them on the market right now.
It seems like Atlas has really got a lot going on for them these days.
Yeah, they've really sort of entered the top tier, I'd say.
That's super cool.
I think that just about does it. What do you have to say, Mr. Slagkick?
I've actually got one more news item to throw at you.
Oh?
Yeah, so this one actually just went up on Kotaku earlier today. What? No, it's actually kind of interesting. They were talking to Gabe Newell from Valve at the VMAs. The VGAs, probably about the same level of quality, right? But
seriously.
You know, Big Picture just officially was released this week. It's been in beta for a while, but...
Yeah, you know, a lot of people have been really excited for Big Picture mode in the Steam interface for the last several years, since it was, you know, announced in, what, maybe 2009, 2010?
Right, and you know, anytime people talk about Big Picture, I can't help but think of that Why Can't Tori Reid song, The Big Picture.
I also feel the same way, but I'm looking forward to seeing this Big Picture mode and seeing how it interacts with sort of the oncoming of people having gaming PCs in their living rooms.
Yeah, because this is the thing. He was telling Kotaku that he believes that living room PCs will compete with next-gen consoles, and that even as early as next year, we'll start seeing PC packages specifically designed to be hooked up to your TV and run Steam. And he thinks that it's going to be a better environment. And honestly, I can't exactly argue. I play a lot of PC games these days. Now, that said, a lot of the games I prefer to play on PC, I do because I like playing with keyboard and mouse. But, you know, the fact that if I got something like... So say I picked up something like Darksiders 2, for example, and I got one of these living room PCs, if that's what we want to call them. You know, if that's going to run it better than on PS3 and 360, or Wii U, even, you know, it's kind of a compelling argument for
the big picture.
I'm still thinking about Tori.
Of course you are.
You know, it was really a blessing in disguise that project flopped for her.
Okay. I do agree with you, but that's not what this show is about. Let's not be one of those podcasts that veers off wildly for the next 20 minutes talking about the career of Tori Amos.
Okay. But yeah, you know, we'll just have to see when these specifically living room design PCs hit the market. You know, it's kind of going to be a story we're going to have to follow and see if it really goes anywhere.
I think those PCs already exist. They're called PCs.
But, you know, I just think people outside of the gaming PC player base don't really consider it like, oh, I'm going to buy a PC so I can play games. But, I mean, yeah, I would definitely, if there was a, like, of course I could also just build my own PC, but, you know, depending on the price and how powerful they are, you know.
It seems terribly unlikely to me that you will ever have a better value proposition in PC gaming, like, more so than just building your own.
That's true. So it'll be kind of interesting to follow this, but...
Yeah, I need to set up my PC to a TV and just run Big Picture mode and see how that goes.
Yeah, I mean, because you can do it right now. It's not like you have to wait. You could even hook, if you have a laptop like mine or Captain Spike's that can play games, you can get your HDMI table. HDMI table. I mean, HDMI cable.
My table is in HD. How about yours?
I think we're probably best wrapping up the news now because we're just stumbling over our words.
Yes, yes. We are literally stupid in anticipation of our discussion.
Yeah, but that was a lot of news this week.
Yeah, it was a super busy week, yo, because we really literally just did an episode like a week ago, and this much popped up to talk about. Who on earth could possibly blame us for getting tongue-tied when there's that much to discuss?
Yeah, really. So, let's celebrate.
So let's kick it off. The Year in Gaming 2012. I want to take a little time here. Probably a lot of time. to talk about what we sort of, here at GameBuoy, feel are the top 10 news stories of 2012. If you'd like to kick the first one off, Mr. Slagkick, you're more than welcome to do so.
Yeah, I can't think of any bigger story that we followed this year than the Sega Saga, as we like to call it.
Well, there's certainly no news story that we covered quite so much as we did the Sega Saga.
Yeah, you might know that we just put a new layout up on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
And if you look at our tags, you know, it's one of those tag clouds where the more prominent tags are larger in font. Sega is like the biggest one of all.
Because, Sega!
Yeah, I mean, it's just been a roller coaster year for Sega. I mean, it really was not looking good at first.
But yeah, they started the year dreadfully. We were all terribly concerned. And then, you know, as we discussed sort of in our earliest episodes.
This is one we've been following since the very first episode. So,
it absolutely is. But, you know, they sort of changed their priorities. They refocused on sort of exploiting their back catalog. And as we discussed just more recently, they finally had a quarter where their losses are way, way, way down. And, you know, they're very likely going to be in the black next quarter and finally
really
making money
turned it
again.
Around.
They turned it around.
If you had told me when we first started this podcast that Sega was going to be turning it around like this, I probably wouldn't have believed you.
Yeah, I certainly did not think that they were going to go out on a high note this year. And admittedly, it's a somewhat strange high note to think that, oh, still being in the red a little bit can be considered a high note. But when you go from verge of bankruptcy, maybe they're going to have to sell IP to, oh, just not an ideal quarter. That's a pretty big turnaround.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, we aren't always 100% of the time happy with Sega's decisions. You know, like we talked about last episode, they were doing that shady thing with the YouTube videos for, was it Shining Force?
Yes, that was Shining Force.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, Sega's always been a little bit of the redheaded stepchild of the gaming world, in my opinion. But, you know, we love Sega. We wouldn't be talking about them so much if we didn't love Sega. So I think we're both pretty happy here that they've turned it around so much. But what a year they've had.
You know who has not had so good of a year?
Yeah.
Our second top 10 news story of 2012. The perilous state of THQ.
You know, I just have to say, the fact that Sega was able to turn it around, I really hope that that's a sign that THQ can do the same.
Well, you know, I did notice that, and we discussed just a week ago, that THQ was working with the Humble Bundle folks to try and raise some money. I did see that THQ stocks went up more than 40% a share.
Yeah, so that's already a good sign.
So, you know, maybe there's hope in the old girl yet. I was just at the store, in fact, today, this afternoon, and I saw a huge stack of those accursed THQ UDraw tablets.
Aww.
Hopefully, you know, they can pull it together. They've put out quite a few really great games this year and even in 2011. So hopefully they can keep turning it around and really just stay afloat until they can get their next big AAA games out, because they have a couple of buns in the oven, so to speak. And I think if they can just survive till getting even one more out, that things will probably stabilize.
I think they'll be okay. You know, I have to be honest, I didn't really pay too much attention to THQ before, and I mean, maybe this is kind of a wake-up call, but I feel like they are really putting out some pretty decent games, and I feel as a consumer that I really want to be supporting them so that they can continue to put out good games, because, you know, it would be a shame to see them suffer the fate that so many of these companies have over the past couple of years.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Third up. Third top news story of 2012 in the eyes of GameBuoy is the Mass Effect 3 ending. QQQ.
Oh, wow, yeah. I mean, we were talking about this on our first episode, and there are still people who are butthurt about it.
Yeah, you know, new Mass Effect 3 DLC just hit a week or two ago, and every news post about it still filled with commenters about, why would anyone care after that ending?
God, BioWare fans can be the worst.
The absolute worst. They are the Brittas of the gaming community.
Ooh, that's harsh.
As you know, we here at GameBuoy fully support Mass Effect 3. We love the game.
Yeah, and I mean,
we certainly have our criticisms for it, but overall, even a lackluster ending cannot erase, for us, certainly.
And I thought those extended cut endings were pretty great.
Oh, I did too, I did too. But even a truly poor ending, for me, can't change the fact that I had a 70-plus hour really positive experience with my Shepard from Mass Effect 1 through 3.
Yeah, definitely. That was probably one of my favorite games this year. So, you know, haters gonna hate. Whatever, talk to the hand.
Yeah. You know, I don't have any good, cute little title for the top the fourth top news story of 2012, but it is one that is still developing. So hopefully by the time we have this discussion next year, at the end of 2013, I will have thought of a clever name for it. But I really feel like we are seeing people start looking at the issues women face in both the games industry, in gaming, and in games journalism today. And I think that is just, it is simply superb in every possible way for this audience to be opening their eyes and aiming to treat everybody equally and better.
Yeah, you know, we almost started to see the beginnings of this with, what was his name, Ryan Perez? That guy who used to work for Destructoid and did some freelance stuff, and basically he called Felicia Day a glorified booth babe, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and that absolutely speaks to this.
I mean, now we're seeing the One Reason Why hashtag, and that sort of developing, as we talked about last week.
Yeah, there's... I have a feeling that you're going to hear a lot on this issue from us, so I don't want to belabor the point too much here. I really wanted to point out that this is a big deal. It is going on around you right now, and it's absolutely moving forward, I think.
Yeah, it's a conversation that needs to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd argue it's a conversation that needed to happen 10 or more years ago. But better late than never.
Indeed.
Number 5. GameBuoy's number 5 top 10 news story of the year 2012 is my personal number 1 news story of the year.
We just have to point out that our numbering here isn't ranked, but if we had to pick a favorite one that's nearest and dearest to our hearts, it would be this one.
Nintendo resurrected Bayonetta 2.
Hallelujah!
Oh, Shangela. But seriously, though, we are just over the moon. And I think that's the language that that they were using at Platinum. They were over the moon. And I can't think of a better way to describe it.
No, it's simply perfection.
As you know, Bayonetta is probably, I would argue, it's probably both of our favorite games of this past console generation.
It is definitely
we are now in the new console generation, but
it's one of my top 5 favorites of all time. So
yeah,
I am overjoyed. I am over the moon. anytime I think about Nintendo, I cannot help but feel absolutely jubilant about the fact that Bayonetta 2 is coming back because of them.
Ooh, jubilant. That's a good one.
I appreciate, of course, that quite a few gamers out there are wounded because they will not be able to play Bayonetta 2 because they don't have Wii U's.
Sorry about it.
Well, you know, it's strange to me. And, of course, I know people. I have friends who feel that way. And, you know, I try to empathize with them. But the fact remains, you know, Platinum has confirmed it now. They've outright stated that Nintendo saved this project, that Sony and Microsoft were not willing to step up and help them when Sega could not afford to fund this project. This literally would not exist if not for Nintendo. And if having it exclusive to the Wii U is the only way it's going to come back, then I will take that.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry. There have been plenty of franchises in games that have been exclusive to other consoles. So, you know, I know that this is a little
as good.
I know that this is a little bit of a different case because, you know, we saw the first one on PS3 360. But that said, I'm just so glad that I'm actually going to get to play Bayonetta 2 because,
well, let's just hope that Bayonetta 2, resurrected by Nintendo, is so enormously successful that Bayonetta 3 is a multi-platform game.
Indeed.
And obviously gets made, as implied by my hope. number 6. Sony is junk status.
Well, yeah, I could have told you that Sony is junk. And I do, pretty much every episode.
This
is actually kind of sad, isn't it?
Yeah, this sort of caught me by surprise that Sony's credit rating has been reduced to junk status. It's pretty straightforward. They're, you know, just not doing as well as everyone thought they would. And I hope they can pull it around.
Yeah,
as much as I kick Sony in you know, the nuts.
As much as you kick them in the nuts. I'm outright brutal to them.
I think the industry is best when all of the big three are financially healthy and giving each other reasons to step their game up.
Indeed. And, you know, I just have to say, I talked about it in the past that I may harp on them a lot, but, you know, I've owned every Sony console that's been put out, including a Vita. And, you know, I expect better from them, that's all, because I know that they're capable of doing decent things. It just seems like the PS3 Vita generation has just been very, very lackluster. And, you know, just because I may have criticism about Sony video game consoles, I still think Sony TVs, Sony computers. I have to point out that Captain Spike and I both have our Sony Vaio laptops here, and there is a Sony TV sitting in this room. So, you know, I in no way have anything against Sony as a larger entity. I just worry for them video game wise. But, you know, if things don't shape up for them, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. So let's hope that goes a little better for
them. Yeah,
you.
For as much crap as I throw at them, I don't want them to just outright disappear. Even if I might have said that on the air that I wish that PS4 wasn't a thing.
Number 7. GameBuie's top 10 news story of the year number 7 is... Well, I think I better communicate it to you in song. You'll get caught up in a Kickstarter.
Okay.
Basically, I kind of feel like one of the big news stories of the year is the
growth.
I was going to say propagation.
Okay.
Of the Kickstarter phenomenon with regards to independently developed games.
Yeah, you know, when we recorded our Kickstarter episode, I had yet to pledge. But I've pledged multiple Kickstarters now.
Yeah, I have pledged to more than 30 Kickstarters at this point.
That's great.
And I'm seeing so much innovation within that sphere. So many really great ideas getting voice where no voice would previously have been given. It's really hard not to get sort of excited about this new era of independent development in games. So I definitely think that 2012 in the future will sort of look back on, oh, that's the year Kickstarter really started happening, and we got a break from this sort of cycle of AAA development and super huge budgets and Hollywood cast voice acting, and sort of back to the grassroots of, oh, this is a cool game, it's real accessible, and you can just dig right in and have a great experience.
Yeah, you know, as we talked about, we think that this could be, you know, there's always going to be, you know, big budget titles, but we do believe that this is a game changer.
Definitely, definitely. Hashtag game changer, Kickstarter. Next up, of course, one of the big news stories of the year. In all territories but Japan, the launch of the Sony Vita.
You know what the launch of the Sony Vita makes me think of? And I mean, no disrespect to Lives Lost. Well, see, I was thinking, you know, those space shuttle launches where they launch it and then it blows up before it even, and I feel horrible for laughing because, you know, I'm someone who really loves space travel and astronomy, and I think it's just a complete tragedy when we've had space shuttle accidents. But I can't help but think of that when I think of the Vita, like one of those shuttle launches that didn't even make it out of the atmosphere. I'm laughing at the Vita, everyone. I'm not laughing at the NASA tragedies. Please trust me on that. But yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm having such a hard time composing myself. Did you seriously just compare the launch of the Sony Vita to the Space Shuttle Challenger disaster?
Well, there was another one, too. There were a couple of them. Oh, we're going to get so much hate mail. But like I said, we love NASA.
We love NASA.
Such a tragedy.
Absolute tragedy.
Similar to the tragedy that is the Sony Vita.
Stop. It's not acceptable to do that.
And, you know, we both own Vitas.
You know,
regretfully.
I how dare you? I love Vita. One of the best games I played this year was on Vita. I just yesterday picked up Persona 4 Golden.
I need to
for
pick
Vita.
That up, to be fair.
I think there's more good than bad, but for
honestly,
whatever reason, the market is just not picking up what Sony is laying down.
You know, that's the thing that I keep saying, that I don't have issues with Sony hardware. I think that the Vita is actually a really cool little handheld. I think it's capable of a lot, but I don't think that the PS3 or the Vita have had compelling software, at least for me. I mean, maybe for other people, they're totally into it, but maybe so for the PS3, but clearly not for the Vita, which is just seeing sales dropping. Like,
well, yeah, there was a recent sales period in Japan where the Vita was outsold by
the PSP, right?
Well, no, I was going to say by the 3DS.
Well,
by,
yeah,
by more than 4,000%.
Yeah.
Like, it literally, the 3DS sold more than 40
times
what the Vita sold.
The PSP even outsold it, correct?
Yes, yes, that is true. Although in Japan, the PSP is still getting games released, like, weekly.
I like my PSP. That's the thing. I like my PSP quite a bit.
So, again, hopefully Sony can turn this one around. The big news story. A lot of people are coming in with doom and gloom, including half of GameBuoy. I'm trying to be a little more optimistic because I know I hate when the haters hate on the 3DS, which has certainly turned it around. And, you know, Nintendo's now doing respectable numbers month to month. And I hope Sony can turn the Vita around similarly.
Yeah, like I've said, I don't actually want to see them fail. And, you know, PS3 and Vita both saw Black Friday sales help them out a bit. I mean, you know, not enough to, like, totally change the tune of what's going on here. But, you know, so we might see it survive yet. But just has not been a good year for Vita.
Number nine. GameBuoy's number nine news story of the top 10 news stories of the year 2012, the launch of the Wii U.
Wii U.
Wii U.
Okay.
We've talked enough about the launch of the Wii U in the last several episodes. I'm not going to bore you
anymore. I love my Wii U so much.
But, yeah, I mean, I do already have, like, more than 10 games for it, so
I love it.
At number 10. At number 10 in our top 10 news stories of the year 2012, GameBuie presents E3 2012. In particular, of course, Slagkick wants to draw attention to...
Remember when Nintendo had their keynote and people were really butthurt about the fact that, oh, there's no Zelda trailer or there's no Metroid trailer?
Are you sure we're not talking about E3 2011?
Yeah, but as we look back on E3, you know, we talk kind of about what the real purpose of E3 is in today's gaming world. On our E3 first annual E3 blowout. And, you know, all that said, thinking about now that we have the Wii U in our hands, and most of what they've shown, with the exception of Pikmin 3, perhaps, most of what they've shown we have now. And, you know, I think that it was a pretty good keynote. And, I think it was ridiculous that people thought it was a failure of a keynote because they didn't reveal a trailer for a new Smash Brothers.
One thing that I think needs to be said,
Zelda,
and I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm going to tie this into what you're saying a little bit. A lot of those same detractors you're talking about really called out Nintendo for spending so much time on their keynote for talking about Nintendo Land. And now
yeah, Nintendo Land's great.
Now I feel like most people who have gotten Nintendo Land in their hands have actually sort of stepped back a little bit and have realized it's actually quite a well-developed piece of software.
It really is.
So it was a pretty big deal, I think. Sort of the overly dramatic unpleasantness that people
right.
had with regard to Nintendo's
E3 keynote.
And, you
know, it's kind of interesting because... I feel like everyone was, like, lashing out. And I feel that it's not... The tides haven't totally turned, but I feel like people are backing off on Nintendo a little bit. I was expecting a lot more heat around the Wii U. And I mean, there's still a lot of people who are thinking that it's crap or whatever. But, you know, I think that since then, we've kind of seen people back off just a little bit. Because we've talked about this on our E3 blowout... Microsoft and Sony didn't have that great of keynotes this year, so we here at GameBuie just thought that, you know, the backlash that Nintendo faced for their keynote was just really unnecessary.
You know, you just pointed something out to me, unintentionally, I assume. We didn't really mention anything about Microsoft in our top 10 news stories of the year.
Oh.
Maybe smart glass? Oh, gosh.
Well, I mean, I guess Microsoft has been kind of, like, keeping to themselves, keeping the status quo or whatever.
Yeah, well.
All right. But, you know.
That basically sums it up for Microsoft, doesn't it? Status quo.
You know, speaking of E3 keynotes, I think one of the only things we talked about from Sony's was the Wonder Book. I just saw that at the store today and laughed about it.
I kind of want to buy one. It looks awful.
Yeah, so you can do the Harry Potter Book of Spells.
Yes.
Wingardium Leviosa.
Wingardium Leviosa. Slagkick, I think that's it for the news stories of the year 2012. Why don't you step in and... I know that you have a top 10 list, but I feel like you had mentioned that it was sort of a little different from how we usually do things.
Yeah, because here's the thing. You know, sometimes being a gamer can be an expensive hobby. And so I spent most of this year catching up on my gaming backlog, as I've kind of talked about during the What's Up segment.
You know, that's funny. I know quite a few people who did that this year.
Yeah, and, you know, in some cases, some of these games were like Final Fantasy VI, which are many years old. So
yeah.
There have been a lot of games that I've had the chance to catch up on. So,
excellent.
You know, instead of doing a top 10 games of 2012, I'm going to do my top 10 games of 2012 that I can't wait to play.
So so basically, the top 10 games from this year that you hope you get around to next year.
Pretty much.
Why don't you kick that off?
This is, of course, not in any particular order, but I'm going to start out with Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy. I love rhythm games. I love Final Fantasy. You know, I actually really intended to pick this up. I just never got around to it. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to having some great rhythm game realness fun.
Yeah, you know, I'll talk about this. My list is obviously a little more straightforward, but Theater Rhythm is definitely on there. I understand that it flopped awfully here in the U.S., but I thought it was a really great game, great experience, great presentation. I loved it. I cannot possibly get enough of that game.
Wonderful.
What else you got for us?
Number two on my list is Pokemon Black and White 2. And, you know, I've mentioned recently on What's Up that I picked Pokemon White back up. And, you know, I've just been having a great time with it. Before we even started this podcast, when that game came out, Captain Spike was telling me that he feels that it's probably the best Pokemon game since the originals.
I really do. I'm just thoroughly impressed.
And although I do have a soft spot in my heart for the Gold, Silver, Crystal era of Pokemon games, I do have to say that I have not had this much fun probably since those early Game Boy days. And I actually have a copy of White 2 waiting for me, but, you know, I figure I just want to wrap up White 1 before I finish playing, before I start playing White 2.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, number 3 on my list is Lollipop Chainsaw. Of course, Suda51 is obviously a genius, and every time I saw, like, you know, previews and such for this game, I couldn't help but think that it would be, like, No More Heroes meets Bayonetta. Because, you know, cheerleader zombie action, that's right up my alley. You know, this game didn't get reviewed too well over here in the Western world, but it did pretty well. I think it got all nines on Famitsu, if I recall. So
yeah, you know, one thing that game doesn't get nearly enough credit for, and I'm going to sort of co-op your time here because I want to mention it, is that game's script is so well written. Just a really fun game, a lot of really great dialogue. And you were talking about it being better received overseas. We didn't really have time to discuss it today during our news segment, but they just announced special editions of this game coming out in Japan to celebrate the Valentine's Day/White Day holiday there next February.
Oh, that's really cool. So yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I don't let the mainstream media dictate what I should and should not play. And I mean, it's Suda51, so I mean, I feel that I have to give it a chance, even if it is not the perfect game. You know?
Yeah, that man's an auteur.
All right, number 4 on my list is Kid Icarus Uprising. You know, I have really fond memories of Kid Icarus growing up, but I'm super bad at it when I go to play it on Virtual Console or whatever. That being said, Uprising looked really cool, looked really interesting and different, so, you know, I'm down to give it a whirl, even if it's very difficult for me. I haven't let that stop me before with games.
Yeah, you know, it's I was really impressed by that game. It's beautiful. It does some really interesting things that I've never seen done on a portable console. And, you know, Masahiro Sakurai, who was, of course, the director on that game, and you're probably familiar with his work from Kirby, from the Smash Brothers games.
You better be familiar.
he really brought it all to the table. There is just so much you could do. You could probably spend upwards of 20 hours playing that game just unlocking all of the cool little extras, like not even doing the main game, which is itself super fun, really interesting controls that have a learning curve just in using them. But ultimately, there's no other experience quite like it. So I think you're really going to enjoy that one once you get around to it.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited. Number 5 on my top 10 games of 2012 that I can't wait to play, Final Fantasy XIII-2. Now, we talked in our Final Fantasy episode about the fact that 13 kind of gets a lot of hate. I liked it quite a bit, and, you know, everything I've heard about 13-2, like, down to the gameplay as well as like the story and the concept of it. I think it sounds super cool, and I'm really considering this a priority before Lightning Returns hits, so I'm definitely going to make this one a priority.
Excellent. That's great. I I think I mentioned here on the show, I really, really thought that 13-2 was really great. It really came together. So hopefully you can play that before Lightning Returns comes out.
Indeed. And also from Square Enix, number 6 on my list is Kingdom Hearts 3D, Dream Drop Distance. So I have to give a disclaimer here. I still have to catch up on the rest of the Kingdom Hearts series. I should probably make that a priority, especially considering that I kind of committed to the Nerdgasm Network video game challenge where you're supposed to like beat it, the entire series, in a year or whatever.
Yeah, dude, get on it.
But, you know, I'm dying to play all of them, and being that this is the 2012 release in the franchise, it's a top 10 2012 game that I can't wait to play.
Yeah, anyone who's not expecting that to be on my top 10 list is effing dumb. So I'll talk
about
it more.
You know, I was really surprised because I was, I think it was just on Facebook. Yeah, it was one of my Facebook friends. And, you know, no disrespect, but someone had said that the Kingdom Hearts series has been going downhill. And, I mean, from what I've heard from you, Captain Spike, you disagree.
Does that person listen to this show?
I don't believe so, but...
Your opinions are wrong, and you should feel bad for holding them. That's all I have to say about that.
Anyway, number 7 on my list, newer release, Paper Mario Sticker Star. So, obviously, Paper Mario is amazing, and, of course, had its roots in Super Mario RPG, which is just a classic. And, you know, I'll definitely be picking this up. It just came out, so even if I had picked it up, I maybe wouldn't have even gotten to it anyway, but you were telling me, Captain Spike.
Interestingly, this is the one game on your list I have not yet played myself. But I bought it this morning when I was out.
Yeah, and you know, you were telling me that it seems to take some...
Cues,
thank you, from Super Paper Mario, which I know is not the most loved Mario game, but I thought it was pretty clever, pretty neat.
Yeah, most of us Paper Mario fans, we like the Paper Mario franchise to take its cues from Super Mario RPG and sort of those more RPG-based Mario games, you know, the Mario Luigi games and what have you. And since Super Paper Mario, and now continuing with Paper Mario Sticker Star, the RPG elements are really very de-emphasized in favor of sort of things being a little more action-y and a little more puzzle-y, but less numbers and what have you. So it just depends on your taste. I still picked it up because to me, even a bad Paper Mario is still a good
right?
game. Like
Paper
quite
Mario
sure it'll
is
still
just
be
so
good.
Cute. I mean, I don't think we would have seen things like Kirby's Epic Yarn without the Paper Mario series. So I'm always down to support Paper Mario. And, you know, Sticker Star is something we've been kind of following for a while here. So definitely looking forward to that one. All right, number 8 on my list is Pokemon Conquest. So, you know, if you don't know by now, I'm obviously a Pokemaniac. And Pokemon Conquest, which was, what was it, Hironobu's Pokemon and Hironobu's Revenge, or, I'm sorry.
Nobunaga's.
I was close. I was not even close. So, you know, Pokemon Conquest. I've heard that it's kind of a great, my first turn-based strategy RPG, so to say.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a real great my first tactics style game. I love strategy games, and I love Pokemon, so I was super into
it. I have
to
say, turn-based strategy RPGs, like Final Fantasy Tactics and such, that's the one genre that I really haven't dabbled in much at all. So, you know, aside from the fact that this game, independent of its genre, has been pretty well received. I think that would be a good fit for me to finally to kind of learn the ropes in the tactical RPG world. So
excellent! I am stoked for you to get into that style of game. So
yeah, because cool. I know it's one of your favorites.
Yep.
Number 9 on my list, but certainly not lowest on the list, is New Super Mario Bros. 2. Now, I'm always talking about how much I love 2D Mario platformers. Obviously, like, probably most of you listening, I grew up with them. And I picked this up a couple months ago, just didn't get around to it. And right now I'm really focused on New Super Mario Bros. U in my 2D Mario platforming gaming. But I'm definitely looking forward to a New Super Mario Bros. 2 playthrough in the near future.
Excellent. Yeah, we talked about this here on the show, so I'm not going to stay on it very long. But I thought New Super Mario Bros. 2 was pretty good. Ultimately, completely overshadowed by New Super Mario Bros. Wii, New Super Mario Bros. U.
Right.
I wanted to call it New Super Mario Bros. Wii U, but that is not the name of the game.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, because I think a lot of people forget that New Super Mario Bros. Was a Nintendo DS game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think a lot of people just forget that the Wii entry was not the first.
Yeah, well, there's this entire meme about how, Nintendo's just publishing the same game over and over again within the new Super Mario Brothers line.
So thrilled that we're seeing new Super Mario Brothers games. I love them.
Yeah. Well, plus, so that's what, four in, ever? I mean, literally, there have only been four. It's not that serious. One per console.
Yeah,
whatever.
And honestly, I feel this is their answer to things like Mega Man 9, Mega Man 10. Instead of going full retro with, 8-bit graphics, they're choosing to, keep the visuals polished, but giving that same platforming experience that we loved and cherished on Nintendo and Super Nintendo.
Official, cliff note, though, I have to say, Nintendo, if you're listening, I would not mind you going full retro.
Me either. Although... Could we please keep it Mario 3 or Mario World?
World. Fuck 3, fuck 2, fuck 1, fuck everything that isn't Mario World.
And like we said...
I want more Mario World. Please, please, please.
As we've talked about, particularly New Super Mario Bros. U, but a lot of these games have been taking their cues from World, so...
Yeah, they really
have. I think it's really cool that we've seen these are the real spiritual sequels to those original games, and not to discredit Mario 64, but I don't want to get into a new Super Mario Brothers tangent here, but I think they're great games. So even though I'm gonna have to go into it with the mindset that probably not gonna be as polished and great as New Super Mario Brothers U, definitely looking forward to it. And I'm gonna wrap up with a game that's technically not a 2012 release, but it's a 2012 re-release, and it's actually a 2012 Wii release. That was meant to be Wii re-release.
I follow you.
That kind of fell apart. I'm talking about Pikmin 2, of course, which, the Wiimake, that's what I was looking for. I was looking for the word Wiimake.
Oh, well done.
The Wiimake came out in Japan, I believe, 2009.
I think it was 2009.
But we just got it this year, so it's a 2012 game. I've been really having a great time with Pikmin Adventure for Nintendo Land, and it's also made me excited for Pikmin 3. So I definitely need to pick this up.
And, I have to say, as a big Pikmin fan, the new Play Control version, the Wiimake, so to speak, the added Wiimote controls are actually quite good.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
So I really think that you're in for a treat when you get around to that.
So that wraps up my top 10 games of 2012 that I can't wait to play. Captain Spike, I know you've been waiting to shout out your list here.
Oh, goody. Well, let's get this show on the road. I'm going to start off with a somewhat controversial pick and do something that I promised Slagkick I wouldn't do anymore. Those of you who have been in our audience for, the last year now, may remember that at this time last year, we recorded an episode of someone else's podcast as sort of a pirate joke. It's where our moniker comes from. This will officially be the last time I refer back to those delightful days. I cited my game of the year 2011 as Xenoblade Chronicles on account of it having released in the EU territories that year. I am citing it again on my top 10 list because it came out in the US this year.
Yeah,
and if you haven't played it yet, you are seriously deficient and need to
play
it.
Yeah, but bro, those graphics look like dung.
Girl, I will slap your ass. Well, I will not literally slap your ass, but I will slap you and you're acting like an ass.
I just have to say as a little side note, that Chris Warcraft guy, Chris Clue, I can't really say his name, so I just call him...
I think it might be Clue.
Clue. He goes by Chris Warcraft on Twitter. He's actually been a huge supporter of gay rights. I actually think he's a super cool guy, but just not when he's writing and judging about Nintendo.
I still really dislike potty humor. That article that he wrote for Game Informer, sort of denouncing Xenoblade Chronicles based only on its graphics. I disagree.
It was Xenoblade Chronicles makes me want to punch a kitten or something to that effect.
Yeah.
I don't have the article with me right now, but.
You know, it's whatever. I'm over it. But he seems like a really cool guy. We here at GameBuie officially support him in every possible way. Except when he's writing games journalism that absolutely ignores the core tenets of gameplay over style. That's all. Next up, though, I would say Nintendo Land. Definitely
Hell
one
yeah.
of my top 10. Amazing game, amazing experience, right out the box. I would argue that it absolutely communicates as clearly as Wii Sports did for the Wii, exactly what makes the Wii U different.
It really is. It's the mission statement of the Wii U.
And really just brings home the entire concept of asymmetrical gameplay to multiplayer gaming concepts. Next up, one that I was just talking about before we started recording, Asura's Wrath. I feel like this game got a lot of hate for effectively being a six-hour-long anime with quick-time event cutscenes. But frankly, since it's a super good six-hour-long anime with quick-time event cutscenes, I'm here for that. I heard a lot this year about how good The Walking Dead was. I haven't gotten around to playing that, although I did just pick up the full set copy. I ordered it, so I should have it pretty soon. And I'm looking forward to playing it. Everyone is talking about how unique and challenging it is for being essentially just a slightly interactive movie. And I just can't help but look back at Asura's Wrath and wonder why Asura's Wrath got shot down for being effectively the same thing. If you're out there, you're on the fence, it can be had for, you know, reasonably cheap now at this point. And I recommend you load up Amazon and check it out. I don't think you'll regret it at this price.
Yeah, I watched you play the demo, and I mean, it definitely was kind of like an interactive movie, but it was fun to watch. I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's for a more cinematic experience like that, isn't the whole goal for it to be fun to watch?
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like people had similar criticisms with the Prince of Persia reboot.
They did, and I liked that game a lot as well. Again, it all just depends on what you're in the mood to play. Sometimes you don't want a hardcore action game. You just want to watch cool stuff happen and, you know, occasionally influence what direction the story goes in. No harm in that. Number 4 on my list, personally, and surprisingly, I want to mention Halo 4. Not a game I certainly would have pegged as having been so excited for pre-launch. I was really taken by this game's unique interpretation of the pre-existing Halo mythos. The art design is really quite surprisingly unparalleled, and it really just takes the whole franchise, I would argue, in a really exciting new direction. And since I did not care for the old direction, I'm pretty on board with that. Solid, tight gameplay. Again, it really much better art direction than you would expect from Halo. I'm hooked. I'm hooked. Pretty much everyone I know has bought it on my recommendation, and most of those people have really liked it.
Yeah, you know, I just, it's funny because so many people were, the core Halo fans were pretty upset when they found out that Bungie wasn't going to be making more Halo games, but it honestly sounds like it's for the best. No offense to Bungie, because, it sounds like it's really taking a step up now.
Well, the consensus is that this studio that Microsoft put together for the Halo franchise, you know, 343 Industries, which is, of course, a takeoff on Guilty Spark 343 within the Halo franchise, they really did, I would absolutely say, they really did put together a more cohesive, ultimately better product than anything that Bungie did with the series over the last 5 or 6 titles.
I have to say I am honestly surprised.
I am too, but, you know, credit where it's due. They pulled it off. They went all the way, and then they went a little further. Next up on my list, and officially at the halfway point, I have Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy. I spoke quite highly of this while you were talking about your list of games. I don't feel the need to elucidate any further. Next up, we have another game that I've spent some time talking about here on Game Buoy, FTL. Got into this game at the suggestion of one of our listeners, and I have not looked back a single time. It is a roguelike spaceship simulation with some really, really just cool design philosophies and just really great implementation of different old school ideas and aesthetics. It can be had on Steam for under $10, so if you're interested, I would say you should probably just pick it up and see if it's your cup of tea. Have you played FTL?
I haven't. You know, if I see it on a Steam sale, I'll probably grab it.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because FTL is actually on sale on Steam right now through Monday, December 10th. For $5.99.
Oh, wow. I should probably pick it up then.
I think I'm going to make you pick that up. In fact, maybe I'll just gift it to you right now. Aww. While we're recording.
It's the spirit of the holidays.
Except then you better promise to play it early in the year.
Yeah, because I mean, I've definitely got a big backlog of 2012 games to play already, as I've discussed.
Next up, and following in your footsteps on this one a little bit, is the remake, or port really, very few remake elements I suppose, of Disgaea 3 for the Vita. This is of course your very standard Disgaea experience, just with some added concepts introduced into the core game, lifted from Disgaea 4. I've talked about this quite a bit here on the podcast. I'm well past the point of several hundred hours into this game. I have very little to do, by the way, for those interested in my ongoing attempt to experience everything the game has to offer. And I'm closing in on having seen it all. First Disgaea game I've ever done that for, and it happens to be the version on the Vita. So fuck yeah, Sony Vita, I'm on your side now. And thank you, Atlas, for putting this game out. Just hurry up with the Vita version of 4 now so I can get right back into the thick of it.
I believe you mean Nipponichi?
Oh my gosh, I do. You're right, Atlas published the first game in the US, and Nipponichi has self-published since then.
Well, you could say that they're both putting out some of the few worthwhile titles on the Vita, I guess.
Yeah,
I just have to say that the Disgaea series is probably the main reason that I'm eager to get into tactical RPGs. Because I just know that everyone who's played them and who is a fan of these types of games has just adored them. One little side note that I have to point out that is that I think that the way that they changed the subtitle of the game's names for each portable for each portable entry in the franchise is adorable.
Yeah, I definitely am inclined to agree.
Aw, I just got a gift from Captain Spike in my Steam account.
Yep, you now have a copy of FTL yourself to play through.
You heard it here first, folks.
Speaking, of course, of space travel, next up on my list is Mass Effect 3. This is, of course, one of the few games this year that I know for fact that Slagkick played all the way through. Why don't you talk a little bit about what Mass Effect 3 means to you?
It was actually my first time playing through the entire series this year. I have to confess, I skipped one. I was having issues at the time with my laptop running it.
I remember that, yeah.
And, you know, honestly, what I played of one, I wasn't super into it. It wasn't bad, but I had a great time with two. And even though I'd probably say that that's my favorite entry in the series, I can recognize that three definitely polished a lot. And the multiplayer alone pretty much sold me on it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really surprised by how that came together, because it is not obviously a series that previously had multiplayer as a thing.
And I mean, I think it speaks highly to the game that many of our friends are still playing multiplayer pretty much every night. These are people who used to play lots of World of Warcraft or other MMOs, and they are just instead choosing to play Mass Effect multiplayer
all
the time.
Yeah, pretty much everyone I know, even the ones that typically don't do shooters at all. And, you know, I've talked so much this year on this very podcast. You could probably find out every little thing I think about, every little aspect of Mass Effect 3. So I don't want to get into it any further than we already have, but that we have devoted so many words and so much time to this game really, to me, illustrates just how important and how good this game is.
Yeah, and I know people have an issue with the fact that the RPG elements were kind of dumbed down over the course of the series, but I just think as a third-person shooter, it was a really solid, competent game. And of course, like you mentioned when we talked about our news story, we just get so attached to our shepherds. So,
yep, absolutely. Next up on my list, one that you had mentioned wanting to play, of course, is Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance. I was a big fan. I really feel very excited about the direction it takes the franchise in. I simply cannot wait for Kingdom Hearts 3 to see how this story is going to end up, because it's very clear that Dream Drop Distance is an introduction to sort of the final chapter of this story arc.
I thought you were going to say how this story is going to end, and I was like, no, Kingdom Hearts 3 can't be the end.
Girl, you haven't even jumped in yet.
Yes, but I love Disney and I love Square Enix,
but
I'm already a fan.
Tetsuya Nomura has more or less said that this would be the end of the current story arc, would be Kingdom Hearts 3. So I think we're nearing the time that that's actually going to get announced. I'm personally, and we'll talk about this a little more in about 5 minutes, actually, but I think we're coming to a point where Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to get announced after the release of Kingdom Hearts HD Remix 1.5. So I'm really looking forward to that, because Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance was just so good, I thought. And last, but most certainly not least, is New Super Mario Bros. U. And, you know, coming up on the launch of the Wii U, I was excited for this game. I was anticipating it quite a bit. But there was some trepidation, some concern, because I have had just played through New Super Mario Bros. 2 for 3DS and 100% completed it. And the level design and the art design and just the way everything came together in New Super Mario Bros. U was so good and so tight and so pristine that I have already 100%ed it. Whereas New Super Mario Bros. 2 took me months to finally get around to finishing completely. It took me all of 2 weeks, no less than 2 weeks, to do New Super Mario Bros. U, because I simply could not put it down. So kudos to you, Nintendo. Thank you, Nintendo. And bring on new content, because I need more, like, straight into my veins right now, dog. And that about wraps it up for our individual top 10 games of 2012.
Or top 10 games of 2012 that we can't wait to play.
Girl, that was implied when I said it. So we're going to hit this as sort of quick bullet points. We're sort of running out of time rather rapidly, I fear. We want to talk real briefly about our top 10 most anticipated games / gaming events / predictions for the year 2013 here at GameBuoy. I'm going to start it off with number one. We here at GameBuoy feel that 2013 may well be the year of platinum games in the U.S. Between Anarchy Reigns, Metal Gear Rising, The Wonderful 101, and possibly Bayonetta 2.
Fingers crossed.
Things really seem to be lining up for people here in the U.S. to really realize how incredible this studio is and just how blessed we are to be able to play all of this really great content that they put out there. So that's for me, that's definitely my most anticipated gaming event for 2013. You have one that you've said to me several times, Slykick, that I just think is superb. What are you looking forward to in 2013?
I am looking forward to more Miiverse art. I'm hoping that we will see Bayonetta 2 next year, and in that case, I am so excited about Bayonetta art. But I've talked about how much I love seeing the little doodles and sketches. I can't even call them doodles and sketches, because some of these are just straight-up works of art. And I mean, it seems like a silly thing to be looking forward to in 2013, but, you know, with the new games coming out, will be new art that clever Nintendo Network users will be drawing on their gamepads. And I mean, I just continue to be blown away. And I mean, this is one of my favorite parts of logging onto Miiverse is just seeing what people come up with.
I enjoy turning on my Wii U every time just because of Miiverse. So I totally get what you're saying. Next up for me is I'm really looking forward in 2013 to finding out exactly what the fuck the Phantom Pain is. You know, we discussed a little bit earlier in this episode that the current internet theory is that it's Metal Gear Solid 5, but I'm going to be kind of on the edge of my seat wondering until it's confirmed one way or another.
Yeah, you know, it seems pretty compelling evidence to support that it is Kojima, but it could very well be a new IP.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, knowing that sneaky bastard, he could just be trolling us.
It very well could be the case.
Another thing that we are anticipating, hoping for, I would say, are U.S. localizations of some Square Enix games, including Kingdom Hearts HD Remix 1.5, and, of course, Bravely Default Flying Fairy. We've talked about this a couple of times. We are really hoping that we get confirmation in 2013.
Yeah, I definitely would like to see both of those games to come to the U.S. And, you know, I'd be a little surprised if we didn't get both of them. But at the same time, I really can't help but feel like cynicism was sort of the name of the game of 2012 in gaming. So I hope that these games make it over here and that it turns out all of our fear was for nothing. I'm hoping in 2013 to see the Vita stabilize on its feet.
That would be nice.
We were talking about it earlier today. You know, Sony has done a lot of good for the industry over the years. I might have some complaints with the way that they've handled things, you know, since their inception as a gaming entity, basically. Even going all the way back to, you know, movie adaptations on the Super Nintendo, though that's not what we're talking about right now. I just really want to see a stream of really good first and third party support for the Vita. I want to see people start picking it up and seeing how cool it can be. And I want people to realize that portable gaming doesn't have to be Angry Birds on your phone. Like, you can have really awesome whole game experiences on your Vita or, you know, your 3DS, but I think people are getting that. For whatever reason, they're playing all of these Vita games, or not, and coming away unimpressed, and I just don't get it. So I hope that we see that trend reverse.
Another thing we're hoping for in 2013 is that third parties will flock to the Wii U. Of course, we've already seen Ubisoft be a huge supporter. Probably the most of all, THQ seems to be on board. That Darksiders 2 port is great. You know, so we're hoping that people, developers specifically, and publishers will really realize that even just a game like Darksiders 2, for example, Darksiders 2 doesn't have the most innovative gamepad use. You know, you can access your inventory on it if you're playing on your TV.
Can you play on pad only?
Yeah, and you can play on pad only.
Already a seller.
That's what I'm saying is that, you know, it's not necessarily like, oh, asymmetrical gameplay like Nintendo Land does. That said, I think that playing on your gamepad is compelling enough for me. So,
well, yeah,
you know,
that's...
Even if we just get, like, ports of games that, you know, they weren't considering bringing it over to Wii U, I'm fine with that. As of course, I'm eager to see developers try to do more asymmetrical design. That said, even if all they do are like, oh, we're going to do a map on your Wii U gamepad, or you can play it on there, I'm like, okay, cool. Sweet.
You know, that is enough for me to pick a Wii U version over any other console.
Yeah, even... as long as it's not, like, you know, janky on the Wii U for some reason.
And, you know, for me, like, I'll even take a jankier version if it means I can play it on the gamepad. I just really prefer playing on the gamepad to playing on the TV.
Yeah, I'm surprised that that's as...
prevalent?
No, not prevalent, because not every game has it. But I'm surprised, personally, for me, that I am so into using my gamepad to watch stuff.
Ah. See, I've heard a lot of people communicate very similar ideas. A lot of people online seem to, you know, once they have the option of TV or gamepad, much like me, it's great to be able to start your game on the TV and then, oh, I want to sit down on the couch and relax with this in my hand, you know, rather than having to sit in front of the TV. And a lot of people, I want to take my Wii U gamepad to bed and just play Mario in bed and then come back to the TV, you know, later or tomorrow or whatever. That versatility.
That's not what it is for me. And
yeah, that versatility means a lot to a lot of people, I think. And I really hope that third parties.
And the option to switch whenever you want.
Yeah.
I think because some people are like, well, you can watch it on your iPad. You can watch Netflix on your iPad or whatever. It's like, but dude, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, I can't just switch it easily and be watching on the TV one
and
minute.
And I mean, specifically with having that game experience, the equivalent would be like if you could play a game on your PS3, then be like, oh, I'm just going to hop onto my Vita and play it in bed. Which, I mean, I know there is some things with like save swapping or whatever, but
I have yet to play a game where it's that it has that well integrated, though. It's almost always a hassle and a half.
Yeah, so that said, even if they don't necessarily innovate in the area of asymmetrical gameplay, we just want to see third-party developers publishers supporting the Wii U.
Something that we're looking forward to that definitely will happen, at least, not just a vague hope, Nintendo's E3 presentation.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is that what I'm looking forward to is kind of what the issue that people had with this year's. I'm looking forward to a big Wii U trailer, whether it be Smash or probably not Zelda this early on, but, you know, maybe Smash.
I'm hoping that Nintendo has a trailer, of course, for Bayo 2. But hopefully for whatever Retro Studios is working on, because, you know, they've been working on something at that point, it will be probably a couple of years that they've been working.
And, you know, I just have to say, you know, I'm hoping that we'll see, like, even if it's just a teaser for Smash Brothers, and that, you know, it won't be until 2014 E3 that we really properly see it, like, in action. That said, I'm not going to be butthurt if they don't. I'm mostly just looking forward to seeing what trailers they have.
And I've heard some pretty compelling arguments for why we will probably see Smash Brothers something at E3 this year. Just because, you know, Nintendo, Masahiro Sakurai is working with a whole team of people from Namco. So they have hundreds of people working on this project right now. And they have been working for already quite some time. They will have been working, by the time E3 rolls around, for more than a year on this project. I'll be surprised if they don't have something to show for it. You know, a team that size.
Yeah, definitely.
So I definitely think that Nintendo's E3 presentation this year is going to be pretty intense.
I am definitely looking forward to it. So we have a prediction for 2013. More Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that speaks for itself. But
I mean, obviously, Realm Reborn is, like, definitely happening.
Yep, and, you know, Lightning Returns, and I almost kind of feel like 2013 might be the year that we finally start hearing more about Final Fantasy Versus 13.
And I actually think that 2013 is when we're going to start hearing a lot more about Final Fantasy 15.
Well, I think so, too. So I think that 2013 is going to be a big year for the Final Fantasy franchise. Mark my words. I believe we are going to have a lot of Final Fantasy in 2013.
You know, they just celebrated their 25th anniversary. And here's to 25 more.
Yep.
And we think that they're going to kick off year 26 with some greatness.
Yep. Next up, of course, the official prediction of Game Buoy Podcast. We believe that we are likely to see the next box slash Durango in quarter four.
It's definitely looking that way.
Of course, we would not be surprised if it gets pushed back to quarter one 2014. But as things stand right now, we're kind of thinking it's going to be pretty likely for early November.
Yeah, you know, 360 has been out a year longer than any of the other ones, Wii or PS3. So it seems like they're really pushing for that to happen. And it wouldn't, although we wouldn't be surprised if it gets delayed. Not delayed, because they haven't really announced it yet, so it can't really be delayed. But, you know, if we saw it quarter one of 2014, but it seems very likely that they're going to try and push for holiday 2013 release.
Yeah,
so hopefully that won't be super jank.
You want to wrap this one up for us?
Yeah. We're expecting very little from Sony on the PS4 or whatever they will choose to call it. It'll probably be the PS4, let's be honest. We're expecting very little word from them on the PS4 in 2013. And, you know, I think that's honestly for the best. What they need to do right now, in my opinion, is really get some strong software support on their systems, including Vita. I still think one of the biggest problems with the PS3, in my opinion, is that there were still a lot of pretty decent games coming out for PS2, and then they just were like, nope, PS3 is out now. I really think that if the PS3 had been in development for even just another year, and they weren't selling it at such a loss, I think that they could have avoided a lot of their issues that they've had this generation.
I definitely agree. And
the
PS2 that's...
still had a lot of life in it.
Oh, yeah. You know, in other countries, they're still releasing PS2 games.
Well, in Brazil, they're still releasing Mega Drive games.
Girl, that is not even on the same level.
No, I know, I'm kidding. But so that said, I think that if we don't hear anything about PS4 in the year of 2013, I think that'll be good, because it'll be a sign that Sony's kind of like, okay, we really gotta do it right this time.
You know, I think we're very likely to see the PS4 be a huge technological powerhouse. But I think that the sort of trade-off in achieving that is that they're probably going to end up launching a year after Microsoft fires with the Nextbox / Durango. I just think that that's sort of the trade-off there, and
hopefully
the balance.
Hopefully they'll be smart about it.
Well, they would almost have to be if developers are cutting their teeth on next-gen development on Microsoft's Nextbox. By the time Sony comes out with, you know, their new box, things will be looking good for Sony. Developers will have a little experience under their belt with that level of tech. It's not always a bad thing to trail behind a little bit on release.
Especially if they're really trying to still be the biggest and baddest.
All signs indicate they are.
Yeah. So that was it. That was our top 10 hopes and predictions, anticipations.
Game Buoy 2012, the year that was.
Yes. up next, we usually like to do our listener feedback towards the end of the show, but this week we asked our listeners what their top stories or favorite games were for 2012, what they're looking forward to in 2013. We had a couple of respondents. Captain Spike, would you like to take this first one?
Wicked from the Nerdgasm Network says, I got super addicted to Saints Row the Third. I know it released last year, but I picked up the full package this year, and I could
bet
not.
He picked up the full.
Girl, you do not get to insinuate homosexual things about our listeners that are heterosexual. If you're gay out there and you don't mind Slagkick saying gay things about you, let us know.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
As he says, though, he picked up the full package this year, and ... I could not put it down. It is such an addicting and fun game. Fully customizable characters, a great storyline, amazing graphics and interface, and of course, dildo bats. Okay, actually, I take that back, Slagkick. Maybe you can say homosexual things about Wicked. As Wicked has to say, my choice for 2012 Game of the Year, even if it did release last year, Well, that did not stop me personally from picking Xenoblade Chronicles.
The full package just came out in November, so that would be a 2012 release. So,
and Wicked goes on to say his honorable mentions go to Lollipop Chainsaw and Nintendo Land.
I am so happy that Wicked gave an honorable mention to Nintendo Land. Yeah. I'm not surprised about Lollipop Chainsaw. I knew he was all about that game, which is part of the reason why I'm excited to pick it up, because I knew he had such a blast with it.
Yeah. So, thank you, Wicked, for your letter, or tweet, or however you communicated
this. Actually, a Facebook
this.
Comment, so...
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, yeah. We did get a tweet, though. Boy of Stone on Twitter says that his faves were Tales of Grace F, Skullgirls, The Walking Dead, again, Lollipop Chainsaw, Darksiders 2. Are you going to do that after everything?
Yeah.
Persona 4 Arena. His game of the year. Wait, what?
Nothing. What was his game of the year?
Game of the year was Walking Dead.
Excellent. Excellent.
His hopes for 2013, Bayonetta 2 ported, new info on Persona 5, Versus 13, possibly Kingdom Hearts 3, Last Guardian, new Darkstalkers, hashtag Dreamer.
You know, I have to say, I actually think that all of those things are going to happen except for the Bayonetta 2 imported thing.
Sorry, Boy of Stone.
But aside that, I think that you're absolutely right on the button. I think we are finally going to hear about Persona 5. You know, we know that Persona team is working on something next gen, by which we mean current gen, by which we almost mean last gen. They're definitely... You know, we know that development continues on Versus 13, and like I was just saying a few minutes ago, I really think that 2013 is going to be the year we hear about Versus 13, and I do think we're going to start hearing about Kingdom Hearts 3, which, you know, I was also just talking about not too long ago.
Yeah. He has another hope for 2013. Brilliant use of Wii U that'll convince me to buy, namely a Fatal Frame / Silent Hill game. Hashtag, come on already.
Now, you know, the interesting thing here is that Nintendo owns the Fatal Frame IP now. So it is inevitable that we're going to see a Wii U Fatal Frame game, in my eyes. There were, in Japan, several Fatal Frame games for the Wii. I think it's just a matter of time. It might not even be a matter of time. That might be in development already, because the Wii U gamepad really just lends itself instantly to ideas of how to interact with the world within Fatal Frame. I don't know anything about Silent Hill, unfortunately. I mean, I like Silent Hill a lot, and I'm a big fan of the franchise, but I don't have any real analysis of that situation. I hope a Silent Hill Wii U game comes out soon, because that would be great.
So, thanks, Boy of Stone, for your tweets.
Thank you, Boy of Stone, for your tweets, and thank you, Wicked, for your Facebook comment. We love hearing from you guys.
We do. We really do.
So, rumor has it that you and I right now are supposed to talk about our New Year's gaming resolutions.
Yeah, we know it's not New Year's Eve, but...
1080p. It's my gaming resolution. What?
I thought you have a 720p TV in here.
Oh, shut up. Within the real spirit of things, you know, I know we're not super big on actual New Year's Eve, New Year's resolutions, but we did think it would be fun to do some gaming ones. Mine, personally, is to finish more games in 2013. I talked today about 10 games that I finished in 2013. I definitely finished another, you know, 10 or 15 more, but I probably started, like, more than 30 games that I did not finish this year.
That's mind-boggling
so
for
I would,
me.
I would definitely like to not do that in 2013. What about you?
Well, my 2013 resolution is to play more new games. Because, like I said, I missed out on a lot of what was new and cool in 2012 due to catching up on my huge backlog of games. So I'm saying it's time to break the cycle. I will certainly be catching up on those games, but I just am really going to make gaming even more of a priority in my life so that I can catch up on what I missed, but also be keeping with the new stuff.
Excellent. I will apply a lot of peer pressure to try and help you achieve your goal. And now I think it's time to check in and see.
I said, hey.
what's going on.
So I pretty much today have talked about pretty much everything I've been playing. Lots of Wii U games, specifically Ninja Gaiden U. I've been playing a lot of Tekken Tag Tournament. I've been playing Blops 2, quite surprisingly. It just occurred to me I have not talked about any of that today. I've also been playing Danica Patrick All-Stars Racing. also on Wii U. I have really taken to Wii U. The entire playing on the pad and then playing on the TV when the TV is free and I'm not putting anyone out. It just really, really, really works for me. On my commute, I've been playing Zelda, The Ocarina of Time 3D.
Wonderful.
I've been really taken aback. You know, I have a lot of criticism toward Ocarina of Time generally. Not because I think it's a bad game.
Heathen.
Not because I think it's a bad game. I just think it's overrated. Everybody calls it their favorite game of all time.
It's special.
And I don't
think it has a special place in our hearts.
I don't think it's the best game of all time. But I agree that it's special. And replaying it now with eyes untainted by nostalgia, I have to recognize that it puts forward some really, for the time, quite revolutionary gameplay concepts.
And that 3DS remake looks so good.
It's so pretty. and I'm also, you know, as ever and always, playing Disgaea 3, though I do think that's wrapping up now. Slackick, what about you? What have you been playing this week?
I've also been playing a little bit of Tekken Tag Tournament 2 Unlimited. You know, my thing with Tekken is that I recognize that they're not the best fighting games, but that works in my favor because I'm not super good at fighting games. I'm having a fun time with it, so, you know.
What do you think about Miguel Cabrera?
Ooh, girl.
You got Gmail. What else you been playing?
I've actually been spending most of my time playing Saints Row the Third, so I've actually been talking with Wicked about it a lot. I am just totally having a blast with it. I think that it's funny. I read a tweet the other day, not at GameBuoy Pod. We're not GameBuoy Podcast anymore. It wasn't a tweet to GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
On Twitter. But it was just a tweet that I saw on Twitter about. And it basically said, oh, Saints Row the Third does everything that GTA 4 did, but does it right. Something to that effect. And I mean, I really have to agree. I just think all of the GTA games in general are kind of sloppy.
You know, I have to say, the thing comparing GTA 4 to Saints Row the Third directly, the thing that really strikes me is that I feel like I'm penalized for playing GTA 4 the way I want to play it, and like the game is constantly trying to make me play it a specific way. Whereas Saints Row the Third, I feel like you're just rewarded just for playing, no matter what you're doing. Just
yeah, seriously.
Have fun, do what you want to do, and oh, here's some reputation points.
That's the biggest thing that
have
I like
fun.
About Saints Row the Third, is it doesn't take itself too seriously. And you also have to consider that, you know, it's designed to be a sillier game.
Plus, you get to select the size of your main character's package.
Yeah, I mean, so that it's just designed, it's by its very design, meant to be less serious than...
Kind of irreverent, might you say?
Yeah. And, I mean, I have so much fun. I'm like, when I'm hijacking someone's car, when I would do that in GTA 4, I'm like, oh, shit, where are the police? But in, like, Saints Row the Third, for some reason, every car I keep hijacking, and this might say something about my taste in cars, I keep throwing old men out of their cars.
Ha-ha.
Like, I really want to, like, throw some bros out of, like, a big truck with, like, lifted wheels or whatever, but, you know,
end up with overcompensation mobiles?
That said, I've stolen 3 cars so far to just, you know, go, and mostly, honestly, I've been spending most of my time shopping and getting tattoos and stuff.
Nice car. Shame about your penis.
Yeah, except, My guy in Saints Row the Third.
Of course you did. Sex appeal slider all the way up.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting silly. It's time to wrap this shit up. As always, thank you so much for listening to us spout on and on.
Thank you for sticking
on.
With us this year.
Thank you for sticking with us this year. Truly, 2012 has been the year of Game Buoy, and we could not possibly have done it without you, without your feedback, without your iTunes subscriptions and ratings and reviews, without your Facebook
likes,
and without fucking Twitter. We love fucking Twitter.
I want to give you those URLs really quick. Facebook.com/GameBuoy.
Facebook.com/GameBuoy.
And remember that we changed our Twitter handle if you've been a longtime listener. We are at GameBuoy.org.
At GameBuoy.org.
With D-O-T spelled out.
With D-O-T spelled out.
As always, our main hub is GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
Where we always post all of our links so that you can interact with us while... Well,
yeah,
not
if you
really want to
read along,
us,
if you
want to
read
along,
that's the place to do it. You want more information on the things we talk about, you'll find more information linked to various sites from GameBuoy.org. I would like to call special consideration on your time and attention to the bang-up job that Slagkick has done, sort of revitalizing GameBuoy.org as a hub for any and all things we're doing here. It looks great, and we hope to bring more and more and ever more content to you guys through that venue.
Aw, well, thank you.
As always.
We wouldn't be here at all if it weren't for our favorite podcasts who have inspired us.
Exactly where I was going with this. I would like to direct your attention to Koopa Club. They do something very similar to what we do. They're just a bit gayer, and somehow they manage to be even more Nintendo-oriented. Check these guys out. They're great. They have a good time, and I love what they do.
Men after my own heart.
And, of course, our boys over at, and girl, over at Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice, and from whom I take personally so many of my cues from.
You are a bit of a Rob Roberts clone.
I try.
I, of course, as always, want to thank and shout out to Nerdgasm Network, the wildest shock jock video game radio broadcast that you will ever come across. They've been doing some live streams lately. They've just relaunched their site, so please go support them.
Excellent.
If you're a World of Warcraft gamer, go support the best little whorehouse in Azeroth, the place for World of Warcraft news, but never too seriously, and Girls Gone WoW, where you can get a female perspective on the world's most popular MMO. And last but not least, Video Game Outsiders, the Xbox Live Community Award-winning podcast running 7 years strong. We also want to thank Zelda Reorchestrated for our new opening theme.
New-ish.
New-ish at this point. Good. So go support them today. Really, really cool stuff if you're a fan of Zelda music.
Woo-woo! Excellent. We now must bid you adieu. We have a concert to go to. I need to see Passion Pit with a deadly passion. And keep gaming, keep thinking, have a good time, and see you, Space Cowboy.
Happy New Year!
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, bitches. I'm back.